Good morning, everyone. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 23 this morning as we've been making our way through this epistle. Just an encouragement again to any of our younger people that are considering the conference. Right now we have roughly 60 individuals that are signed up for this from 7 or 8 different churches. That we're just so excited about that we're going to be having this conference in just a couple weeks. So if you're in that age range, 18 to 30-ish, we're saying, please come out, be blessed. We're looking forward to that. And also, please, for the congregation, please be praying as we move towards that weekend. I say this a lot, think this a lot. This is the next generation of the church. Should Jesus, hey, I'm all for the song, Come Jesus Come, right? So if it's today, let today be the day. But if he tarries, this is the next generation. So let's be praying for this group of individuals that God would use the teaching of his word that weekend. Let's start in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, Lord, that we can be here this morning. Father, to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to pray, Lord, to worship you freely, and to study your word, Lord. We pray that you would be forefront, Lord. You would be the focus in everything that we do this morning. Lord, that you would draw those hearts to you that you're drawing right now. And we pray through that, that you'd be glorified. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please say hello to someone before you sit down. Amen. As we have been making our way through this epistle, last week we looked at Abraham, his greatest sacrifice. Really greatest step of faith, I think, with Isaac. I feel a little echoey. Am I echoey? Okay. What a great test of Abraham's faith as he was willing to offer up Isaac, knowing and believing. Whoop, they're back again. Knowing and believing that if God had actually called him to go through with it, God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, because we know that the promise was through Isaac. We also looked at Isaac himself and Jacob and Joseph and some of their steps of faith, steps that we noted, and it's interesting as we note them, that when we look at some of their lives, they may not have been the things we would have pointed out. So you look at everything, for example, that happened with Joseph, trusting in God, dealing with difficulty, relying on the Lord, seeing God raise him up. And yet it was the mention of his bones saying, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. The majority of his life was lived there. The majority of his interaction with the Lord was in Egypt, but yet he looked towards the promised land. He said, do not bury me here.
I want my bones to be buried in the promised land. Scripture tells us that Moses took his bones, Joseph's, and Joshua will tell us that he buried them. So he was buried with his mother and father in the promised land. And now we move on, really looking at the story of Moses. We look at Moses and the picture that we gain from Moses and some of the events in his life. In verse 23, while we're looking at Moses, we really start with Moses' parents. Notice it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So we have now here this picture, really. It's not Moses' faith. He's just a three-month-old from infancy to 3 months. It's really the faith of his parents now that is pointed out to us. A step of faith that his parents took, his mother and father. Amram, his dad, Jochebed, his mom. We know that they were slaves in Egypt. We get to a place in Exodus chapter 2 where Joseph has now passed off the scene. We have new leadership in Egypt, pharaohs that didn't know Joseph. And as this was occurring, we know that the children of Israel were growing. Growing so much at an alarming rate towards the Pharaoh because he realized they're getting stronger than we are. And he understands what that's going to mean for him as God continues to bless the Israelites. And so he says, we need to kill the baby boys. And he takes two midwives and says, listen, when the Hebrew women are going to deliver, if it's a boy, we want you to kill the baby boy. And if it's a girl, you can let the girl live. And we know from the book of Exodus, in chapter 1, one of the midwives was named Shipra, the other was Puah, and they didn't heed the commandment of Pharaoh. As these boys were born, they were letting them live, and they get to the place where now they have to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, why are you doing this? Why do you let them live? And they say, well, the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. These Hebrew women are lively. When it's time to have these babies, the babies out, there's nothing we can do. And so what they did was they protected these babies. God saw it. He showed them favor. And they were growing. But this was continuing. The threat continued. So we get to the place now where Jochebed, we know at this point she's already had Aaron, she's already had Miriam, and now she gets to this place where she has Moses. And that wasn't his name. That was his given name by the Egyptians. We don't know what his name is. We know him, call him Moses. Whatever his Hebrew name was, we don't know. But now Moses is born, and Scripture tells us, we read it in Hebrews, we see it in Exodus chapter 2. Stephen, when he recounts this in Acts chapter 7, notes that Moses is a beautiful baby. There's something about Moses that stands out. And his mom, Jochebed, knows this. Amram also, they see this, and they get to the place where they say, we need to hide this baby. I'm sure that they understood. They were Levites. They understood the promises. They, for some reason, we don't know specifically, but it seems that they understood that there was a plan for this baby. Imagine, even more so to some extent than both Miriam and Aaron, his brother and sister. Something about Moses, wherever they were, led them to say, we need to disobey the king's command. We need to hide this baby boy. He was beautiful. And they hid him for 3 months. They got to the place that they could no longer hide him. And they now put him in a little basket. They put him in an ark. His mom dabs it both inside with pitch and tar so it can float. And they bring him, she brings him down to the very place where they are killing these babies and hides him in the reeds. I don't have to, any mom that is sitting in this room knows what that would even, or maybe can't even imagine what that would feel like. To get to the place where you have this unspeakable love for this child, you know the danger, you know that there's something that God's doing, something that God's stirring up in your heart, you know that there's a plan, and you have to make a basket and put your son in the reeds and leave him there. They made this step. Moses' parents, by faith, they didn't heed the king's command. They disobeyed. Now, we are and should obey the commands of the authorities that God puts in place. We should do that. We don't make our own rules. We don't make our own laws. We should obey until the commands and the laws and the requirements go directly against God's word. So if someone makes a law and says you can't read your Bibles, you disobey that law. Okay? Unless you're one of the people that forgot their Bibles, like for years. Who's left their Bible for years out there? You got to go get your Bible. But that would be something that we would disobey. Like, no, we're not going to do that. If it becomes illegal to meet corporately as a church, then what do? We still meet. Because Scripture tells us, don't forsake the gathering together of the brethren. So we pray, we trust God, and we find a way. Hey, listen, I know this could sound crazy. We may be in the woods at some point. I'll meet you in the forest. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. I don't know. We don't know where we're going. This may not always be an option for us. But we obey until something goes directly against God's word. They disobeyed. They hid him. And you know the story. Imagine now, by faith, they make the step to disobey the king's command. They put this baby boy, their son, their older brother, in an ark, a little ark, in the reeds, at the very place where Pharaoh's daughter would bathe. They hear the baby crying in the reeds. They go find out. They open. They look. And it says that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion. Miriam is watching at a distance and says, "Do you want me to go get someone that can nurse the baby?" Pharaoh's daughter says, "Great idea." Yes. She goes and gets Jochebed. And Jochebed comes, and Pharaoh's daughter says, "Nurse the baby, we'll give you your wages to do that." Can you imagine? They don't know, listen, they don't know the outcome. All they know is that by faith, we are not killing this child. We are going to do whatever we can to save this child with nothing in front of them other than we know that this is what we need to do. And just how long was he there? An hour? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? Who knows how long he was there? And in the midst of that, Jochebed is hearing the words, "Here's your son. Nurse him. And by the way, and here's your paycheck." Something that a mom would do, they don't need to be paid. They would do that in a heartbeat, and God says, "Oh, no, no, see, because I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or ask." And so now she steps forward and does this, and she's now going to get to the place where she needs to give Moses back. Moses is named Moses again by Pharaoh's daughter. She gets to the place where once he's weaned, she's going to have to give Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter. And can you imagine what she's doing for every second that she has that little boy? How old did she have him till he was 3, 4, 5? And just constantly, I'm sure, God has a plan. God made a promise to our people. God's going to send a deliverer. God's going to give us this land. He's going to rescue us. He's going to call us out. You need to follow him. Stick with him. He's got a plan for your life. And just all of this going on and on and on and on. And listen, we can't overstate how important it is to be pouring into our kids, because they listen and they hear. And listen, they also watch. They watch what you do. They watch what you don't do. They watch how you do it. It's funny, I worked in the school for 19 years. Before that, I was in youth ministry. Before that, I was in Sunday school. I've been around kids a lot. And when you're around kids that long and you have a conversation with them, you go, I'm talking to their mother or father right now. I'm not talking to them. Like, they don't really think that. That's their mom. That's their dad. Listen, your kids talk like you. They use the expressions that you use. They take on your viewpoints. Listen, what you think is stupid, they think is stupid. What you make fun of, they make fun of. What's important to you is important to them. It's just the way it works. I look at facial expressions and I go, I just saw someone this morning. I went, that's her dad. That was her dad's face. That's what it is. And so Amram and Jochebed poured in and poured in. Now imagine, again, I can't fathom this as a mom or a dad going, we're going to have to give him away. And now they know, God, you've given them back, and now just pouring in, pouring in, pouring in. And now it was by faith again. They had made the decision to hide them. God honors it. And now what God's doing is God is starting to prepare the man. And he's a young man, like a 3, 4, 5-year-old, for the work that God has called him to do. Because his mom and dad took a step of faith. By faith, it tells us that they hid him because he was beautiful. And notice, it says they were not afraid of the king's command. They weren't afraid. They said, essentially, we don't know what we're going to do, but I can tell you what we're not going to do is we're not going to kill him, and we're not going to let him be killed, no matter what it costs. It says, they saw that he was a beautiful child. They understood that God had a plan for him by faith. Notice in verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We know how the story unfolds. Moses grows now in Pharaoh's household. And the thing that blows my mind when I was studying this week, let's picture for a moment if you're Pharaoh. You have your daughter that you love. This daughter of yours understands who Moses is. Because when Miriam says, do you want me to find one of the Hebrew women? There's an understanding this is a Hebrew baby. Remember what the edict was? Let's kill every boy. Every single boy that's born during this time frame, throw them in the Nile. Kill them. You go to dinner one night. There's your daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, there's your daughter sitting next to you, and she's like, Dad, I have great news. I have a new baby. Think about that for a moment. Why didn't Pharaoh do anything? Don't you think he would have said, wait, what? You're not married? And that's a Hebrew baby. Do you see God's hand in this whole thing? Somehow God protects. where every other Hebrew boy is being directed to be killed, and yet God, as they take a step in faith, God is protecting this little boy. And see, with each step of faith that these people are taking, God is bringing confirmation. God's bringing confirmation. He protects this little boy. He's now raised in Egypt, and Stephen, again, in his defense in Acts chapter 7 before the religious leaders, Stephen says he's trained in all the wisdom and knowledge of Egypt. And at this time frame, if you study history, you see the advancement, some of the things that the Egyptians were doing in mathematics and in medicine and in engineering, all these different things. Moses now, for 40 years of his life, is raised essentially in the very best that the world has to offer. The very best. We can't be dogmatic specifically about who his mom was, but she was potentially believed to be a woman who never married, that had potentially herself gone to the throne, essentially become Pharaoh. But you see now, with Moses being connected, he is heading potentially towards this throne, towards becoming Pharaoh in Egypt, and he is skilled again and trained. He's mighty, powerful in speech. He is like at the top of the top. He is the prime candidate to step in, to rule, to reign, to enjoy essentially at this point everything that the world has to offer. The best of the very best. He has it all. And when he gets to the place now where he comes of age, so again, he's around 40, he's 40, he understands what's in front of him, it says that he makes the decision, notice, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, notice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Scripture is so clear and honest. Sin is pleasurable for a season. It is. If someone were to deny that sin would be pleasurable, they're going against what Scripture teaches. Sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't pleasurable, we wouldn't want to do it. Our flesh wouldn't want to do something that's sinful. But the problem with sin is that it's pleasurable, but only for a season. The end result of sin is always corruption. It's always death. And the nature of sin, we actually read it when we studied the third chapter of this book. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Notice, it's applying the characteristic of deceitfulness to sin. Sin deceives us, wants us to be deceived. So what sin does, essentially, is say, if you sin, oh, it's not only going to be pleasurable for a season, it will be pleasurable forever. Oh, no, the Scripture says it's pleasurable only for a season. Don't believe what the Scripture says. That's what you should do. Listen, that's your right to do. That's your choice to do. You should be able to do this if you want. And that's why there is such a push in our culture. Listen, and tragically, I expect it there. There is such a push within Christianity to not talk about sin. To say, well, that used to be sin, but that's not kind of how we do things now. It was sin back then, but come on, that's over the top. It's different now. No, sin is the same. It's always the same. It's always going to be the same. Sin is destructive and it is deceitful. So there's always a pull and a push towards it. And Moses, notice, by faith, understood the end game. Moses, by faith, understood in his upbringing. So he had whatever was poured into him from his mom and his dad. And you wonder, I wouldn't be surprised, but you just wonder, was there other influence in Moses' life after he went back with Pharaoh's daughter? Was there some like connection that Jochebed said, you know, I nursed him when he, could I come see him? Could I? Who knows? We don't know. But whatever it was, Moses had a clear picture. This is the direction of God's people. This is the direction of Egypt. Therefore, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and I choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Remember, faith is seeing something in a sense that we can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Our physical eyes can't see. Moses didn't physically see the end outcome of choosing Egypt, but by faith he did. And so when he weighed these two things on a balance, he said, oh, all day long I'm choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God because I know where they're headed. I know what's right. I'm not going to be deceived by sin. I'm not going to head in a direction that's going to pull me, even if it's pleasurable for a season, because it is. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a trap. Sin is a trap, and unfortunately, all of us get to times, places where we go for it hook, line, sinker. And we choose. That's what we choose to do. See, Moses had to weigh things out. And he said, I would rather choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. It goes on to tell us in verse 26, still speaking of Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses looked, when he saw these two paths that he could choose, he understood that there essentially was a reward, if you will, at the end of each path. There was something that he was going to gain at the end of each path. If he chose sin, and if he had chosen sin, he knew where that was going to lead. All the treasures of Egypt, he understood was that was within his grasp. He understood what it was. And he recognized there's going to be some fruit, some result of that decision. We're never exempt when we make a choice. It's always going to bear some type of fruit, either good or bad. So he understood choosing the treasure of Egypt and what that would have produced. He also understood choosing the people of God. And notice it says the reproach of Christ. He understood, Moses did, that there was a prophet that was going to be coming. Like unto me, he said in Deuteronomy 18, him you shall hear. He understood the picture of Abraham that we looked at last week. He understood these things. He knew there was a promiser coming. A deliverer, I should say. He knew there was the promise of a deliverer. And so he understood the fruit of that decision and what it was going to mean for eternity, it says, because he looked to the reward. He could see by faith, again, something that our physical eyes couldn't see. You may be in here this morning contemplating two different roads, two different paths, a decision that's two different ways. My prayer for you, and it's been this week, is that you by faith would be able to see the reward in your life of that decision. Because again, the enemy would love to deceive you. to say, no, no, just, no, it won't be that bad. No one, listen, no one will know. It's only once. It's only once. No one will know. See, by faith, God says, no, no, look down the road. Have you ever had one of those dreams? I have these dreams often. Where I do something in the dream, and I go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? What am I doing? I do something that's going to hurt my family. Like, not physically hurt them, meaning like I made a decision that's going to like emotionally hurt them, hurt the church, pull me out of ministry, disqualify myself. And I'm in this dream and I'm going, what am I doing? Why did I do? Why? Oh, what was I thinking? And then you wake up and you go, oh my gosh, it was a dream. Thank God. Have you ever had that? It's like a warning. It's almost in a way, see, God by faith will give us sometimes those opportunities where he just says, listen, stop and think for a moment. See, our lives right now are so filled with constant noise. Do you notice that? It's constant noise. Constant phone, constant information, constant noise. The phone's on, the TV's on, the reels are on, YouTube shorts are on. You name it, it's on, and it's just going. The radio's on, everything is just going. We don't have a lot of times to stop sometimes. Just think for a moment. Say, Lord, where am I headed right now? Based off of the decision that's in front of me, Lord, I want to, by faith, to see the end outcome of that decision. And see, Moses had the time, he had the relationship with God, he had so much poured into him by his parents that now he could get to the place where he stopped and he said, I'm at a crossroads here. I have a decision that I need to make. I have all the treasures of Egypt right in my hand, and I have a group of people that I know I'm a part of, and I understand what my choice is going to mean for my eternity. And again, 10 times out of 10, I'm choosing the people of God, even if that means affliction, even if that means reproach in my own life. See, he did it by faith. It goes on to tell us in verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover in the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It says, by faith now, he kept this Passover. You know the story now as we get to the place where these plagues have happened. And Pharaoh just won't let them go. And God tells Moses that he's going to bring them to a place where the firstborn are going to be killed. Not just human, livestock, the firstborn. And he tells them, I want you to take a lamb on what is now going to be the first day of your month. And you take that lamb on the 10th day, you let that lamb stay with you, you sacrifice it on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, their first month. And then he said, I want you to take hyssop, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to put it on the doorposts and on the lintel. And when the angel of death comes through and he sees the blood of that lamb on your doorpost, he will pass over you. Now imagine. The dad goes to the household and says, listen, there's only one more plague. One more. The firstborn is going to be killed. Imagine if you were the firstborn. You're like, let's get this right. Let's not mess around. This, my life is at stake here. And so he says, what we need to do is take this animal. Think about this for a moment. They've seen the wonders in Egypt up to this point. They know this is real. This is not make-believe. This is not just mom and dad's religion. They're kind of a little bit out there. They're really fanatical. No, no, they're watching this real time, and they understand what's at stake. And Moses says, if we put this blood on that post and on the lintel, the angel of death will pass over us. He will not touch us because God will make a distinction between us and the Egyptians. And by faith, they did it. Midnight of that night, midnight, the angel of death goes through and the firstborn are killed. And we know they're let go. They're set free. Pharaoh says, go. We'll all be dead. See, by faith, they kept the instruction that God gave them, even if they couldn't explain it, even if they couldn't necessarily understand it. And one of the things that I think is so important when we think about this, faith. Scripture says, we looked at it in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't please Him without faith. Romans 10:17 will tell us that faith, which we want to have, which we want to operate in, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So these individuals, think about it. Moses came to them and said, this is what God says. This is what God said to do. They heard God's word through Moses, and then they walked in it and were pleasing to God. So what that means in your life and in my life, do we all and would we all agree today, this morning, that God wants our lives individually to please Him? Yes, right? Not a trick question. Yes. So that means that every person that's sitting in a pew right now, God wants you to operate by faith. He wants you to move towards something that you can't see. And He tells us then if, okay, great, so we say, all right, I want to then do this. I want to step. How do I do this? Well, He tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So that's why we take the time to teach God's Word. And my job, all I'm trying to do when I teach God's Word, is just explain to you what it means, what it says. And then what I do and believe and trust is that in just explaining the text, teaching the text, so think about it. We're talking about people that lived more than 3,000 years ago, Moses. I'm telling you about his life and what happened, hopefully accurately, and then what the Holy Spirit does in your heart, in your life, for people that want to step by faith, I believe and hope what he's doing is going, you know, what that means for you is, and fill in the blank. You know how you're contemplating those two jobs? And he goes, yeah, like you need to go in this direction. We're talking about some guy that lived 3,000 years ago. See, that's the power of God's word. That's why, and again, we're joking and laughing about the Bibles. Like that's, when I wake up every day, I don't wake up and go, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? Do I get out of bed or stay in bed? Where should I go? Should I get the dog or not get the dog? Should I go to work? No, that's not how I operate. And hopefully it's not how you operate. What I hope is happening in everyone's life is that we're waking up whenever you do, and maybe it's for you morning, maybe it's for you at the night before you go to bed, whatever it is, that you understand, I need to spend time with God. I need to actually just take a book of the Bible and hopefully study that book and go through it. And listen, just learn the book. Wherever you are, pick one. Learn the book. Because what then happens is you're spending time, and think about it, we're reading 66 books here. There's 66 of them. You pick one and you study it, and somehow when that's happening personally in your life, whether it's through you're looking and meditating on it, you're hearing about these people, how they lived, what they did. You're learning about God. You're learning about His character. What does He say? What doesn't He say? And then somehow, as that's happening in your life by the Holy Spirit, he then starts to direct what you actually do. There's fruit born from that by just learning this book. And see, these people listened to what God said for them to do. They may not have understood it. They certainly couldn't explain it. But they're putting this blood on the posts and lintel, and death passed over. They're not sitting there going, hey, I bet you down the road that this is going to be a phenomenal picture of Jesus, don't you think? They're just stepping out in faith, doing what God had called them to do. They were redeemed and rescued because of it. And now for us, it becomes a picture. It becomes this picture. And then finally, it says in verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. So they get now to the place, where they're going to leave. Pharaoh's going to send them out. You got to go. And as this occurs, you know the story. I hope you know the story. When God, we don't have time to go into the specific verses. When God came to Moses and he told Moses right at the beginning in Exodus chapter 3, and he told them and he's going to deliver the people, that he himself, God himself was going to come and deliver the people. He tells Moses that you're going to plunder the Egyptians. He's just not going to send them out from Egypt empty-handed. He tells them that they're going to plunder, tells Moses first, you're going to plunder the Egyptians. By the time we get to Exodus 11, the plagues have all happened. God knows there's one plague left. And he tells these people, tells Moses to tell them, I want you to ask the Egyptians for a bunch of their stuff before you leave. And so now it's the Passover. It's specifically, I'm not sure why, but it tells us that the wives are talking to their Egyptian people that they're with or their servants for or slaves under. And it's like they're sitting there going, the Hebrew woman's going, wow, that's such a beautiful gold vase you have right there. Can I have that? And the Egyptian woman goes, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good, wow, that's silver. And can I have, yeah, that. And they plunder them. They actually give it to them. So the Israelites don't go away empty-handed. They actually get all their stuff. The Passover occurs. They're sent away. And now they get to the place where God now, Exodus 13 is telling us, very shortly thereafter, once they're sent out, they don't have horses, chariots, they're just seemingly on foot, it would seem. God leads them to the place right up to the Red Sea. They're hemmed in with wilderness on either side, and the Egyptians get to the place where they say, what did we just do? Why did we do that? We just gave away our whole workforce, and we gave them a bunch of their stuff. And so they now go, and they're going to track them down. They're going to go get them. And the Israelites now, they have nowhere to go. A Red Sea, wilderness, and they look and they see the Egyptians coming towards them. And they complain to Moses and say, you know, this is what we wanted to do in the first place. We were just happy to die in Egypt, Moses. Why did you bring us out here? And God had brought them to a place where there was no way out if he didn't create one. There was no escape. There was no escape, no option. And you know the story. God says, I'm going to deliver. And Moses takes his staff. The walls of the water, essentially, Scripture tells us, become walls on either side. How high were those walls of water? And Scripture will tell us here in the Hebrews, as well as other places, they crossed over on what type of ground? Dry ground. Not wet, swampy ground, like pulling the beach carriage through the sand like this that's mush. Not that. It says they crossed over on dry ground and they did it by faith. They believed they had to take a step out. When they get to that place that we can all get to, think about it. The cloud by day and the fire by night led them to the very spot that they were. They were exactly where God wanted them to be, and in their mind, they were at the worst possible place on the planet. Why would you bring me? Why did he bring us here? Why did he bring us right to the place where there was no escape? And yet it was the very place that God wanted them to be, because he wanted them to say, I need you to take a step by faith. It is one thing to see the walls of water. I can look at them from far away. It's another thing for God to say to you and for us to obey when he says, okay, now go through. Water has a lot of force. The wind drove this water up all that night, a great wind. And you're I wonder if you're there thinking like, oh, I hope this isn't windy. Imagine, they go through now on dry ground and God brings them the deliverance that they thought was not possible. He brought a way when they saw that there was no way. And they did it again, notice, by faith. The importance of us studying these things, remember, is that this is a letter that these Hebrews who understood that God was real. They understood that God had worked in their life and it was real. Just like the Israelites when God told them, you're going to plunder them before you go. And then they get to the place they could have been thinking, plunder them, they're never going to give us their stuff. And then all of a sudden they ask for the stuff and they get it. And see, when God asks you to step out in faith, based off his word, what he tells you to do, he brings these confirmations along the way that you go, he actually is doing this. He actually is doing this. We've talked about purchasing this building. Randy has multiple times. Where you sit out, he's sitting out in the parking lot going, God, is this really you? Is this really you? Like this? This is real? Like, is this really you? And actually, he starts taking these steps. And then God opens another door, and another door, and another door. See, because he's leading. God is leading. He was leading the Israelites. He was leading Randy. He's leading you. And now he's pointing this author to these Hebrews and saying to them, which direction are you going to go? It's gotten tough. It's gotten difficult. They've endured persecution. They're thinking about going back, thinking maybe it would be easier if I just did like our old religion. It was easier. It was more formal. It wasn't in a Kmart. Like, it wasn't this relaxed. Like, they didn't have drums. It just felt better. It smelled better. Everything was dimmed and nice and the atmosphere and the ambience. Maybe we should go back to that. It was so much better. You got to see by faith, what's the end outcome? What would have been the end outcome if these Hebrews said, "We thanks, but no thanks"? How about in your life? I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. You may be sitting here this morning and God has made it very clear to you that there's a decision that needs to be made. And that decision involves, I'm either going to choose something connected to this earth, something that my eyes can see because that's what I can trust or that's what I can rely on, or God is speaking to you right now and saying, no, no, you need to see something by faith. You need to see the end outcome. This world, as you and I see it, this isn't it. This is just literally, when we see Christ, we sing, come Jesus, come. When he comes for the church, when he comes for us, Do you think we're going to be worried about what happened here? When we enter from the temporal into the eternal, and now we know I made the right decision. I understand the reward. I understand the outcome of this. Or is someone, and tragically, listen, tragically, throughout this world, and I don't know how many people a second that are stepping from the temporal into the eternal, and in that second when they go from this life to the next life, the first thought is, I got it wrong. I got it wrong. This is forever. There's no escape. Which side of that equation do you want to be on? I just want to encourage you, as Matt plays, if that's you, by faith, choose Christ. There's nothing that this world has to offer that is better than Him, that is more lasting than Him, that's more satisfying than Him, that's more fulfilling than Him. As He plays, please come forward. We'll pray with you that you could receive the forgiveness that Christ has purchased for you.
Stand face to face and come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be the day, the time is right now. There's no need to wait, your past will be.
Is there anyone? Okay, we have communion this morning. And as we take the bread, as we take the cup, I want us always to remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And before we take this cup, take the bread, I want to take a moment. And I want this to be a moment between you and the Lord. A moment of thanks for all the times in your life that you can think back. I'd love to believe everyone here is a believer. All the times in your life, and we're not going to pray for all the times, we'll be here forever. But think about how many times along the way that God has confirmed something in your life to let you know, I'm here, I'm leading. There is going to be a future eternity with me and with you. Take a moment to thank Him for all the times that He has been so faithful to show you that. Let's take a moment. Let's take and eat. Paul goes on to say, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" As we take this cup, we are proclaiming God's death, Scripture says, until he comes. We're going to pray once more. And my encouragement to you is that if we know that God wants us to walk by faith, we know that without faith it's impossible to please Him. As we understand and look forward to His coming, let's take a moment and ask Him, Lord, show me what it means in my life to walk by faith. What is it that you're asking me to do right now? Let's take that moment. Let's take and drink. Father, we thank you so much for the instruction that you provide us through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless and guide us and lead us, Lord, in the things that are out in front of us, Lord. We want to be able, Lord, to see the things that our human eyes, Lord, can't see. We want to be able to see by faith, Lord, to see what you want us to do, what direction, how to step, Lord. And we ask, Lord, we want our lives, Lord, to be pleasing to you, to bear fruit for you. Show us, Lord, what that means in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.